Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, before we enter into the message tonight, we ask your hallowed presence here and upon us. Lord, we seek to know the truth, for we know the truth sets us free. We pray that you would give us wisdom, bless these dear youth that are here tonight with open hearts and understanding to receive what you have prepared for them. In Jesus' name, amen. I receive frequent letters that are to look authentic, but really are not. I find that these come quite often, either in the form of a message like this, you have won the lottery, or we need your help to transfer funds from Nigeria to a U.S. bank, or some strange letter like that. A former coworker of mine knew a friend in his hometown that was swindled out of $20,000, mostly borrowed money, because of a scam like that. Someone had him believing that he would make a large sum of money by helping them out. And it just took a little bit of money here and a little bit there, and all of a sudden it was $20,000. And he still figured, one of the last times I talked to my coworker Henry, he said this gentleman still figures if he just had a little more money, he could get the big sum of money. We think, humanly, that that's not fair. The people would take advantage of someone else like that. But tonight we're looking at a subject that is more serious than that, because there are spiritual teachers who are taking advantage of people spiritually. And that's more serious than being out $20,000. If at the judgment day you're out your soul, you've lost everything, you see. And that's how serious the subject is tonight. Does doctrine matter? Youth sometimes don't enjoy considering doctrine. Does it matter what I believe? Does it matter who I listen to? Does it matter, we say? Well, we can ask it this way. Does it matter what I consume? Does it matter what I eat and what I drink and what I breathe? You just ask the people in Japan that today. They'll let you know. How important is it what you eat? Well, I was reading that the radiation levels exceeding safety standards have been found in 11 types of vegetables that are grown near Japan's quake-crippled nuclear plant, in addition to milk and water. And the Japanese government is urging their people to stop eating these 11 vegetables because it will affect them. The vegetables, mostly leafy, include broccoli, spinach, cabbage, and cauliflower. The health ministry said some of you might be glad to have that excuse. That's not the point, though. Traces of above safety levels of radiation have already been found in milk and water around this plant. So there's really not a lot safe to eat or drink within the proximity there. Adding to the problems, Tokyo authorities said on Wednesday that water at a purification plant in the capital was detected with more than twice the safety level for infants. Now, I haven't studied deeply into that, but I take from that that infants can handle less radiation than adults can. And that's an interesting point, too. Because we've gathered here tonight as a group of young Christians. How many of you are Christians 10 years or more? Raise your hand. A few of us. How many are 10 years or less? A lot more. Not myself. How about 5 years or less? Okay, that's quite a few. And so, it's even more important for the young in the faith to be careful what they take in. It is very important for us older ones too. But it's very important for the young. We want to look at this message in 3 points, taken from our text, 1 John 4. The first part of the message, believe not every spirit. Secondly, we want to look at many false prophets. And thirdly, we want to look at trying the spirits. These points are taken from chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. This is in 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Believe not every spirit. We want to emphasize, first of all, in introducing this subject, that we need to beware of false teachers and false doctrine. We need to be aware of it. First of all, Jesus warns against false prophets. If we turn back to Matthew 24, we see that Jesus warns us against false prophets. Matthew 24 and verses 4 and 5 and then verse 11. Believe not every spirit. Matthew 24 and verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Moving on down to verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. Jesus warns against false prophets. We can't take in all the teaching and doctrine that is out, available for us. It's not safe because there's the possibility of contaminated doctrine. There's the possibility of false doctrine. And that's simply what we're emphasizing right now. There is false doctrine available. Jesus warned against it. Secondly, the apostles believed the danger of false prophets. And we saw that in 1 John 1. Let's read verses 1 through 6 again, turning back to 1 John. The apostles believed the danger of false doctrine. John believed it, as he writes in 1 John 4, about false prophets and false doctrine. Let's read verse 1 to 6. Beloved, he's writing to children of God, the beloved ones. And we could say tonight, beloved youth, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The Apostle John believed that there would be false teachers. Apostle Peter believed it as well. We could turn to 2 Peter 2 and verse 1. I'll just read it to you. There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And verse 2 says, many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Timothy believed the possibility of false teaching and false doctrine, and he warns against it. In 2 Timothy 3, he says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, that's actually in Jude, he also believed in that. We could turn to 2 Timothy 3, and we're not going to. But Jude also believed in false doctrine. Paul taught against it. I'd like to look now at the three major heresies that the early church confronted. And they're very similar to what we face today. Three. The first was Judaizers, who believed that you need to become a Jew to be a Christian. If you want to be a Christian, you need to become a Jew. Judaizers. The second was Gnostics. They believe that Jesus is not God's son. And we find an interesting comparison, an interesting teaching in 1 John 4 here. They believe that Jesus is not God's son. They believe that matter is evil and spirit is good. Therefore, God, who is spirit, could not have created matter, which is evil. So God did not create the world. And their belief was that Jesus was not the incarnate God, because God being spirit and humankind being matter or flesh being evil could not be mixed. And therefore they denied the deity of Christ, the Gnostics. Now there was a third group of heretics that the early church dealt with. And this is a group called the Nicolaitans. If we would turn back to Revelation 2, here in 1 John possibly, Revelation 2, we have, I believe, two churches mentioned here who had the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And the Nicolaitans believed in a more extreme form of Gnosticism. That since their bodies were physical and therefore evil, then it doesn't matter what I do with my body. Does that sound familiar? They believe that it only matters what you do in your spirit. Because the body is evil, it's matter. And so what really counts is what's in your spirit. And they taught that. In fact, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans was named after a deacon, Nicolaus, who indulged in adultery because he believed that he could live in sin in his body and be all right in the spirit. These three teachings are directly refuted in the New Testament. And the apostles had a burden. The New Testament church leaders had a burden that the church would understand you can't take in these false teachings and expect to be children of God. You can't take in false doctrine and continue living right. I find it interesting, the similarity between some of those teachings and what we face today. Not a lot has changed. We're facing many of those, all three of those same teachings. Moving into the second part of the message, many false prophets. In verse 1 here of 1 John 4, it says, many false prophets are gone out into the world. The false prophets I have listed, six of them, are not far away from this building. They're not far away from our gathering tonight. I'm not planning to speak so much about the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and other false cults and doctrines out there, although that would be worth our while. But I'm planning to speak tonight to false doctrines and teachings that especially young people face today in our churches. Not that you're getting taught that over the pulpit, but these teachings are somehow finding way into our lives. None of us exempt. Not myself exempt either. And so I don't intend to make it very deep tonight, but I want you to follow along. Because remember, what we take in, what we believe to be true, will affect our eternal destiny. The first false prophet we can find in the first book of the Bible and the third chapter. You know that story well. It's the false prophet who says, yea, hath God said. Now God had set the tree in the very center of the garden. And he said, Adam, you know the story. He said, you can have all the other trees, but not this one. Not this one. And so God drew a line around that tree, imaginary, and said, no. Very plain to Adam. That's the tree. That's a no-no. There wasn't any question in Adam's mind which tree and why he shouldn't take of it, because God said so. That's the way it was. But the serpent, the talking serpent, came to Adam's wife and he said, yea, hath God said? And Eve looks at the tree. The serpent says, yea, hath God said? That's a false prophet that's in the world today. And it affects us sometimes. Hath God said? In your own mind, I'm sure your thoughts are traveling various directions. Hath God said? Youth especially are bombarded by Satan with this question. Hath God said? The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthians in his second letter, in chapter 11, verse 3, says, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Hath God said? Paul was warning the Corinthians with this very thing. He said, I fear, lest you'll be drawn away from the simplicity of this gospel. The simplicity of Christ, he says. But we tend to be drawn away from the simplicity of the Word of God, don't we? When the Word of God says, 1 Corinthians 11, let her be covered. The serpent comes along and says, yea, hath God said? Hath God said, let her be covered? The tree's right there. The lines around it. It's so simple and clear. But the serpent brings that fog into our minds. And we start doubting, does God mean let her be covered or doesn't he? And we start weighing in the balance, tipping this way and that way. Hath God said? That's a false prophet that's in the world today. Young people tonight, don't listen to that false prophet. Hath God said? Does the Bible really mean what it says? Well, absolutely. We don't question that. Do we need to take it literally when Jesus said, happy are ye if you wash one another's feet? Oh, that's spiritual. The veiling is spiritual. The holy kiss is spiritual. Spiritual, spiritual. We're moving away from the simplicity that is in Christ when we start to make the Bible say what it doesn't say. Let's not allow Satan to doubt God's word. That's a challenge for us tonight. God's word was good 2,000 years ago. It's good for today. It hasn't changed. It still meets the needs of man. And you who profess to be born again could not be born again unless you knew the word of God. And when you start, and when I start to rip portions out of the word because we don't like it, they're too literal, we're endangering our salvation. The very book that taught us how to get rid of the load of sin is the book that teaches us how to live. Let's not tear it apart, or we'll tear out that page on salvation accidentally one day. And then what about it? What is our standing with God? That is a false prophet that we face today. Young people tonight, don't give any ear to that one. It's a very, very dangerous one. And it'll take you down a road you don't want to go. Second one, your parents are too strict. Don't obey them. You weren't expecting to hear that in a message about false doctrine. But it is something we hear sometimes. Young people hear this voice. Oh, dad and mom are too strict. Why do dad and mom have to tell me what to do? Do they have any right telling me how to dress and not to wear these shoes and to make my dresses differently and to buy different shirts? The Bible predicts, just look in 2 Timothy 3, verse 2, it predicts that in the last times, men shall be lovers of themselves, and they shall be disobedient to parents. That's a prediction of Scripture, but you don't have to be a part of that prediction. You don't have to disobey your parents. You know, Jesus spoke to a group of people in Matthew 15. We don't have time to turn there. There were a group of Jews who wanted to get away from honoring their parents. And they found a way around it. They dedicated it to God. Excuse me. I see young people today sometimes who say, well, I want to be totally consecrated to God. I want to give my life to God. And then I don't have to obey my parents. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. The third one, the third false prophet tells us this. I can be a Christian on my own without the church. Did you ever hear that one speaking? I don't need the church. I'm a Christian after all. God is working in my life. Well, Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Praise the Lord. Jesus is building His church. Are you and I going to be a part of Jesus' church? The church was something Jesus loved dearly. He died for and established, as we read about it in the book of Acts. We could go through the book of Acts and see how the church was born and then grew from there. And Acts 2 verse 41, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them. Unto who? Unto the church. About 3,000 souls. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account. Young people tonight, the path of lonely individualism is not the path for God's child. God designed the church to be a help for you and for me to stay right with God. The fourth false prophet is, I can follow Christ without a cross. I know that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that with all my heart. But I don't think that He requires me to bear the cross. Since He paid the redemption for my soul, I'm free to live like I want to live. No cross. Jesus said, and this is in the context, Jesus and His disciples were walking along, and Jesus is talking with them, and He says to His disciples, I'm going to die. I'm going to go to the cross. And this is what's ahead of me. And Peter says, no, Lord. You're not going to die. You don't need a cross. And Jesus turned and rebuked Peter with some very strong language. And then in the context of that, Jesus says, if any man will come after me, and He's talking to His disciples and He's saying, if you're going to follow me, you have to deny. He said, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You see, you can't follow Jesus until you lay down your carnal will, deny yourself, and take up the will of Christ. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus put on a body? He came to do the will of the Father, and the will of the Father was to die. The will of the Father was to die on Calvary's cross so that you and I could be saved. And He is telling us that if we want to follow Him, we too must take up the will of the Father, the cross. There is a cross for you and a cross for me if we claim to follow Christ. And the third, there's three stipulations there. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, lay down your carnal will, take up my will, and follow me. If you want to follow me, you got to follow me. Yes, there is a cross. True cross-bearing and cross-loving people are crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to them. They're free from the pull of the world. Free from the pull of the world. Another false teacher. Two more. This is the second last one. And then we want to go into the last part of the message. We hear a false teacher saying today that the outside doesn't matter. It's what's inside that counts. Do you ever hear that? Do you ever think that? Do you ever wish that would be true? I think we could say probably we all have wished that to be true, but it's not true. It's the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And Jesus says, I hate that doctrine. Revelation 2, twice. He says, that doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. Strong language, words of Christ, which I hate. Okay, take this illustration. We could think of a tree. We thought of a tree already in the tree of Calvary. Let's think of another tree, just an oak tree. Let's picture this oak tree that's growing here. There are two ways, at least, that we could kill this oak tree. Two ways. You can either kill it from the outside in, or you can kill it from the inside out. Correct? Have you seen trees that die from the inside out? Hollow trees? That's possible. We can die spiritually. Inside be corrupt and filthy, and outside still have a structure that looks good. That is a real possibility. But there's another way to die. And that is strip the bark off the oak tree. You want to see a tree die? Try that. We don't want to see trees die. Don't do it. If you want to see a Christian die, try that same principle. And it'll work. But we don't want to see Christians die. Don't take off the bark. The outer life is important. The outer bark is important. Did anyone eat a banana today? Don't want to embarrass you. No one volunteered. Okay, yeah, there's one person. Okay. We all can picture a banana. What would happen if you took... Let's start it another way. What good is the peeling on a banana? Do you eat it? No. Have you tried? Maybe. But not more than once, probably. But is there a value to it? Is there a value to the peeling on the banana? Why, sure there is. You and I wouldn't be eating bananas if they didn't have peelings. You couldn't ship them anywhere. The bugs would get them before we did. You and I are not able to maintain life without an exterior bark. I hope you can follow that, dear youth, tonight. Exteriors seem trivial. Oh, we're always talking about dresses. We're always talking about covering size. We're always talking about the design of the shirts, how the shoes should look and what the haircut should be. Exteriors do matter. Because you can kill a tree either from the inside out or the outside in. Neither death is desirable. Neither death is nicer or better, in my opinion, because they both end up in the same result. The outside doesn't matter. It's the inside that counts. Well, Brother Leonard Hirsch had a very interesting message at our revivals from this verse in 1 Corinthians 6:20. And I'll read it to you. He says, "For ye are bought with a price." The Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthians. "You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." The body is the tabernacle of the spirit or the soul. Spirit and the soul. The body is the dwelling place until we move to the next world. And one of your friends was taken recently. The body is the tabernacle. But the instruction is glorify God with your body, with your tabernacle. Can people see Jesus? And can they glorify Jesus when they look at my tabernacle or your tabernacle? Another deception and false voice we hear today is that all things continue as they were from the beginning. We find this in 2 Peter 3. Excuse me. Young people tonight, there are earthquakes all over the world. Jesus prophesied it as a sign of the end times. All things do not continue as they were. There is unrest, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, wars and rumors of wars. Young people tonight, Jesus is coming soon. All things do not continue. Someday there will be an end. Someday Jesus will come. But we hear people today and read columns in the newspapers that say, oh, these Christians who talk about the end of the world, they're just putting fear in people's hearts. And it's not making anything any better. Well, maybe it isn't. But we do need the fear of God. And we do need to remember that the end is coming. The end is nearing. The last days are here. And youth, it's not a time to be afraid. It's a time to rise up and fight the good fight of faith. We don't know what will face this youth group here tonight in the next years. And we don't need to worry about that. But let's not believe the lie that things are continuing and continuing and continuing. Whether the Lord tarries a day, a year, a decade, a century, or a millennium is irrelevant to us tonight in the fact that we are in the last days and we have work to do. We can't lay down our armor now, not until He comes. Third part of the message in the last part, try the spirits. We've looked at some false spirits, some false teachings, some false doctrine. Let's get back to this. Try the spirits. How do we test teaching and doctrine to see if it is true or false? That's what we want to determine in the last part of the message. The first one we find in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13. If you would please turn there with me. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13 to 15. Suppose those that know me know that I've read this verse before. It's not profound, it's simple. But it does give instruction. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Notice this phrase, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Young people tonight, I want to encourage you to know your teacher. We need to know Christ, yes. But know who you are learning doctrine from. It's not wrong, necessarily, to listen to someone you don't know on a gospel CD or read a book from an author that you don't know. But here is one safety that you can apply, knowing whether it's true or false, and that is learning doctrine from the people you know best. That's safe. It should be. One of the challenges of young people and all of us, the human heart, is we find it easier to listen to someone sometimes that we don't know. And I just want to encourage you youth tonight. Some of you are from the church where I go to church, but most of you aren't. And so I can say it here. To the youth tonight, learn from your home ministry and appreciate their teaching, because you can observe their lives daily. Appreciate how they help you. Appreciate the messages and devotionals they share and learn from it. it's interesting to hear someone else once in a while. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but know of whom you are learning your doctrine. The second test we can put on doctrine is the keeping trial. 1 John 2. The Apostle John had a real burden that the church would understand the danger of false doctrine. And he mentions it numerous times in his book, chapter 2 and verse 3. Especially like to look at verse 4. We're running late. So verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. The holy word of God. That's simple and clear. I don't need to expound a lot on that, do I? The keeping trial. Is this teacher keeping the commandments of God? This, the third one we find in 1 John 4 and verse 2. We have this thought of Christ being confessed. And I'd like to say that true doctrine and true teaching and true teachers magnify and confess Christ. Let's lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and look for that as you seek to understand truth. Look for the magnifying of Jesus Christ. Is Christ magnified? The next test we can put on doctrine is that of the Scriptures. You well remember in Acts 17 how that Paul went to Thessalonica, I believe. And there were some people that believed, but then there was another group that stirred up the city. And so Paul and Silas went to Berea. In Acts 17:11, you may want to write that reference down and look at it later. It's one of my favorites on this subject. It says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Search the Scriptures. If it matches up with the Scriptures, truth. If it doesn't line up with the Scriptures, false. That's simple, isn't it? Well, sometimes difficult to discern. But search the Scriptures daily to find out. Ephesians 4, and we don't have time to turn there. But Ephesians 4, we find another key to helping us discern whether prophets, doctrines, or teachings are true or false. And it says in Ephesians 4, it talks about the body of Christ and how God gave different gifts to the body. And then in verse 14, it says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And it goes on. Attach yourself to a local brotherhood of believers that is part of the body of Christ, and it will help you to find true doctrine. It will help you stay with truth. Surrender to the body of Christ. And there's another way, and that is listening to the Holy Spirit. We have this in our text, 1 John 4. It says, at the end of verse 4, greater is he that is in you. Who is that? That's the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And notice the end of verse 6. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and error. Because of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Jesus promises that when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And we can have the assurance that as we search the Scriptures and listen to the Holy Spirit, we do not need to be misled. we can be led in the ways of truth. In conclusion, when the fake letters come to my inbox, the best thing I can do is to hit the big red X button, delete, and then empty the trash can. I don't look at them a while to think about them. I simply hit the delete button, and they're gone. When false doctrine comes your way, or my way, are we willing to do the same thing? Are we willing to toss it in the trash and say, this is false, it's a scam, I'm not going to listen to it? The teaching that we hear must be sorted and tested before it is eaten and digested. Be a careful student, young people. Learn only from men as we or as they follow Christ. Follow them only in that. Guard where you drink truth from. As Brother Lester Showalter said many years ago, it is safer to sip from a pure mountain stream than to gulp at a polluted ocean. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world.